We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Don't tell people how to be a fan. You know what? I don't like that phrase because a lot of you are bad at being fans. I will admit it. I do feel like I'm a better fan than a lot of people. And I need to admit this to myself, but come on, guys. Not every game is the end of the world. Every single game. Oh, my God. I'm not just a better fan. I might be the ultimate fan. Nobody's got a grasp on fandom as much as me. I am the best, most smartest, most wise, certainly the most humble. I am the greatest fan that has ever existed. No one is better than me at being a fan.
Catch the Bart Winkler Show weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 1250 AM The Fan.
An Odyssey Station.
1250 AM The Fan. I am Bart Winkler, ultimate fan. Toby Altizer's here. Rami Makhlouf joining us this hour for a little bit at least. Rami, that was a diatribe that I had earlier today. That was today.
Wow, it's already a promo?
Yeah, Toby Altizer.
Look at this kid.
Look at this kid.
Waving flags on Bernie's chalet.
I know.
Turning promos in the same morning.
I know.
Damn.
And I did that in response to, because I had this tweet about, like, broke Brewers fans think that it's Craig Counsell, and woke Brewers fans understand that he pressed a bunch of buttons and they didn't work. And so people have been, I feel like, taking their anger out.
But,
at, well, let me finish.
Okay.
May I finish?
Can I finish?
Can I finish? Oh, dude, you got to check. Did you see this thing I tweeted last night about this guy that does a Robin Williams impression?
Yeah, I saw that yesterday, actually.
What is that?
I don't know. It's weird.
Oh, it's good, though.
It's good. It's too good. It's weird.
Okay. Yeah. So this guy, it's a Twitter account I've never even heard of or interacted with. And they have, you know, that's the Wisconsin logos together. We don't know who this person is. It could be my mom, for all I know. It's hidden behind Twitter.
Is.
And they were just yelling at me for not going harder at Counsell, and Counsell's the worst and all this stuff. And it's just like, I know you have anger, and I know that people are mad that the Brewers lost, but don't take it out on me. Like, you can use the show and Twitter and, like, as a platform, but don't personally attack me. And so I'm like, what is going on here? So what I'm realizing is the more that people really want to be anti-Counsell, and the more they want to say, Counsell did this wrong, he did this wrong. Because with baseball, I've noticed in football, you can like discuss things, and in basketball, you can debate things. But in baseball, you're right. If you think that something else should happen, you are right. It's 100%. It's how it should have been. And you never know the ultimate. You or the alternate. You never know what happens if Corbin starts or Freddie stays in or Yelich bats lower. You never know. So you're just by nature, you're not wrong. So you're right. And I just feel like there's like this vitriol and there's this anger. So it's making me actually want to defend Counsell more when in the first place, what I really think is, yeah, maybe there's some things he wants to take back. But look, this was a guy in this series that tried to do everything he thought that was right. None of it worked. Whether you thought it should or not, nothing worked. And this is why I wasn't ready to put down chairs, Rami, is because in basketball, I was convinced that the Bucks would have the length of the series and the talent to come back from any holes in baseball, it's baseball, dude. I think the biggest reason the Brewers lost this series was it's baseball. And does that make sense to you?
That's exactly what I said yesterday on the show, Bart. I just asked what happened. What happened? Why'd they lose this series? And I went through all the different theories out there of how it could have been different. And my answer in the end was, and it's not satisfying, because when we feel pain, when we feel shock, when we feel trauma, and I know this isn't real pain, shock, or trauma, it's just sports pain, shock, and trauma, we want answers. We want to be able to put a finger on it and say, this is why. This is what happened, and this is how you fix it. And you can do that with some stuff. With baseball, man, it's just baseball, man. It just is what it is. That's how this sport goes sometimes. You win 95 games over the course of 6 months to win one in October and have your season ended. They're not the only team that's going through this right now. I'm doing a shift on the Score in Chicago this Saturday. Guess what I'm talking about? A baseball team that won 95 plus games and was quickly ousted and shown their way out of the playoffs. That's just a sport, man. It can be a cruel, cruel sport, and there isn't always somebody to point a finger at or something to point a finger at. It's just kind of the way the sport goes sometimes. But I'll say this, Bart. Yes, there are people like way, way too far over on the other side. And if you don't want Craig Counsell fired today, well, then we're not doing our jobs as sports talk radio hosts. You have to hold him accountable. But I feel like you're almost saying, like, let's not even discuss Craig Counsell's decisions. Let's not even have those conversations about what could have been or what he could have done differently.
No, I want to be,
or maybe better.
I want to be rational. And like, because we talked all Tuesday morning. Our big thing was Yelich should not be in the top three. He should not bat in the first inning.
I'll take you one further. Christian Yelich should not have been in the lineup.
Well, maybe not. And I even went to so far as a conspiracy theory that I think he's too close to Mark Atanasio's son that they won't let Yelich out of the lineup.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, I like, again, it's irresponsible. I float out theories.
Sure.
So, but the more that, see, so I started a logical, you know, I'm Bart, I'm logical, I'm rational Bart.
Oh, yeah, that's what I know you for.
But then the more people want to attack Counsell, it's like, then the more I go the other way. So I'm going to end up being a Craig Counsell apologist, not because I believe it, but because I just don't want these people now to be right.
Why do you play this game, dude?
It's not a game, Rami,
no,
to me.
It's a game.
It's life.
We do this with everything. Like, oh, you're going to be a psycho on that side of things? Well, then I'm going to be a psycho on this side of things. No, you can just be
a rational, psycho first.
Reasonable adult human being somewhere in
but
the
But that
middle.
Doesn't work anymore.
I don't care if it works or not. I'm not falling into the trap. I'm not getting in that mosh pit, dude. It's pointless. You're sitting here talking about how pointless it is, and yet you're doing it.
Yeah, but to stop it, you got to fight fire with fire.
It doesn't stop it. It's a vicious cycle. You're just burning the whole thing down.
You got to fight fire before you get burned.
That's what we do with everything, dude. And I'm not playing that game. I'm not doing it. I will have a rational, reasonable discussion about what Craig Counsell could have done differently. That's one of my favorite things about our job is talking baseball, is that it gives us that opportunity to explore alternate timelines and multiple universes of if he did this and if he did that. We don't know. We don't know. I don't know. I disagreed with some of the things that he did, but I can't sit here and say that if he did the things that I would have said, that the results would have been differently. And I also don't say that to say Craig Counsell isn't a great manager. He is a great manager. Does that mean that he's not open to criticism or second questioning? No, it doesn't mean that at all.
There's one guy that I see on Twitter. His name's Mark. I've met him in person. I like him. He's kind of hard on Craig. Everybody else is like David S 5496783. You know, everybody else.
Wait,
that's
are you
say? Excuse me.
Are trying to ouster Craig Counsell.
What's that?
Are you saying Russian bots are trying to ouster Craig Counsell?
I think there's part of it. Yeah, I think it might be. I think it might be part of the agenda.
Okay.
So maybe I'm just fighting with bots.
It's quite possible, man. I've been there.
This Mark guy, I'm going to bring this up because it made
me
laugh.
Is their grammar real bad?
Oh, yeah. Brutal.
Yeah, okay.
So Kyrie's doing what he's doing, and he put out a video explaining, and Mark goes, this Mark guy, he goes, I agree with Kyrie. I stand with him 100%. And then somebody goes, he thinks the earth is flat. And then Mark goes, okay, 99%. I thought it was funny. And I think it's even funnier that the Nets are going to blow their chance because of Kyrie.
Oh, that is so, dude, I love that. I love it so. It's the best. It absolutely is the best, what he's doing right now. I'm so happy about it.
Because you believe in the cause, or?
No, because I'm kind of enjoying watching people, like, inconvenience themselves and throw a huge wrench in their life over nothing. just out of pure...
I think it's funny that Kyrie thinks he's one of the great civil rights leaders of our time.
And this is another instance of where we have to, like, run to extreme ends of things. Like, now people who would never rush to defend Kyrie are rushing to defend Kyrie, and
he's
their favorite NBA player. And now people who were walking alongside Kyrie a year ago thinks he's an idiot and a moron and a terrible human being. I neither of those has to be true. Like, Kyrie has a lot
and
of...
It's politicians bashing Kyrie a year ago, now defending him now.
Exactly. Kyrie has a lot of...
You gotta like the whole package, man.
Yeah. And I'm not falling for it, dude. I'm not falling for it. I love that he's tanking the Brooklyn Nets season.
Yeah, that's as far as I go.
Over nothing.
Yeah.
Over, like, a harmless jab, harmless poke of a needle that could do a lot of good. But, I mean, I don't... Does this make him a bad person? No. Do I hate Kyrie Irving? No. Does this discredit anything he was saying a year ago about social justice and institutional racism? No. Like, he was right about that, and he's wrong about this, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, Kyrie's actually, I mean, he does so much good for people.
So much. So much, dude. It's insane.
I mean, he gives money all the time.
And by the way, I don't think he thinks the earth is flat.
Oh, well, what is it? He said the earth is flat, though.
I know. He also said that he kind of just put that out there to see, you know, how people would react and treat him just because he disagreed with them on something. It was a social experiment, which was, again, is stupid. That was a stupid.
No, I kind of like that.
I don't, because those are things that you should be ridiculed for believing. Like, you don't, there are plenty of things that you shouldn't be ridiculed for believing. Believing the earth is flat is one of them, dude. That's a fact. That's a fact that we all should come to terms with and be in agreement on. And if you don't believe that, well, then, yeah, you're putting yourself in the crosshairs, and you probably deserve.
But if he put it out there to see how people would react, I appreciate that.
Sure, but not
like
with
a good Andy Kaufman social experiment.
But not with that. Not with that. Like, if you wanted to pick something that, you know, one could very easily have an opinion on either side of the issue and see how people would treat you for that, okay. But when you say something that is just obviously, simply, factually not true, and people come at you for that and say, dude, you sound kind of dumb saying this thing that's obviously, factually, and not true, you got that coming to you. You know what I mean? There are plenty of debates that we can have where there's gray area. The earth is not flat, dude. And if you say it's flat, you sound like an idiot.
You never heard about my friend then, Randy Ramone.
Who?
He was a fisherman, and he went to the end of the earth, and it was, you know, it's all ice. And so he's exploring, and he fell off, and he died. It was in the news.
R.I.P. Randy, man.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Thoughts and prayers.
Rest in power. So you're talking about the White Sox this weekend on the score, and I'm glad you brought them up, because this is another problem where I was upset with just the way that baseball's structured. You've got the Brewers. People are saying the Brewers should have not taken their foot off the gas. I don't know. I mean, Yelich is still playing 2 out of 3 games in every series. And it's so here's what people wanted. They wanted the Brewers to play with the same intensity that they did throughout the season before they clinched. They wanted them to play with that same intensity in the last week. You can't manufacture that intensity. Even if you're like, well, you can win 100 wins. You can't, like, man, you can't, they don't care. You can't manufacture that. You have to do what's best. So while I was like at one extreme when we talked about it, I was like, oh, sit everybody and give them a vacation. Call up the, you know, the minor leaguers. Okay, that's probably stupid. But you can't manufacture the intensity, like I said. So it's like baseball, you have these three teams now. The three teams that are out are the Rays, the White Sox, and the Brewers, all teams that had a pretty relatively easy time winning their division. The AL East came down to those other two teams in the wild card. The White Sox put everybody at bay pretty early, and the Brewers coasted too. And then so now baseball, it's actually kind of like set up for it's better if you get hot. You're still going to have to play in the wild card game, so it's not perfect. But then if you win that wild card game, well, then you're the White Sox or the Red Sox and you're advancing. And maybe you're the Dodgers and you're advancing. But at least the Giants and the Dodgers were like in the thick of it all the time. You get I like the phrase rewarded for bad behavior when people fail upwards.
Sure.
But the phrase here, they're getting punished for good behavior. The Brewers did everything they're supposed to do. They dominated their division. You're supposed to win your division. They got out to a big lead. They never looked back. And because baseball is so quick, this five-game series, it's like you got to do everything within these five games. A sport that is open to so much variance should not try to decide a winner in one game with the wild card and then in five games. It's absurd that the Miami Heat get to go get swept in a seven-game series against the Bucks, a clearly superior team, when the Brewers can't even get another one more crack at trying to break not just the Braves, but the variance. You got to beat the other team and the variance. A five-game NLDS is just, it's absurd to me.
I don't think making it seven games would change very much, Bart, in terms of the results and the lower seeded team coming out with the victory because of what you're talking about, the variance resets every game. It's not like the more games that you play, the truer outcome.
But if it's a seven game series, maybe they keep Freddie in because there's not that urgency that you got to get a hit and win this game. We don't talk about Woody coming in or Burns. And then a team that has the three pitchers like Freddie and Burns and Woodruff, they can all pitch in two different games. It's like the Brewers, the walls were caving in on them much sooner than it had to be because you're trying to settle this in a five game series.
I get what you're saying. I don't have a problem with the five game series. I don't like the one game play in the wild card.
No,
but I will say this: when I'm watching those games and the intensity of and the atmosphere of those games, because there is so much on the line, that is compelling, dude. That is,
just like the extra inning rule. I hated it, but it's compelling.
It is. And so I don't know if I want that out or not. I don't know if we need like another playoff spot so that you have two lesser deserving teams playing that one game play-in. So we still get that, you know, all the chips on the line sort of game at the end of the, because I do like that. I really do like that. But I feel like most of the time, at least one of the two teams that finds themselves in that position is too good a baseball team and has done too much to find themselves in that position. So I get what you're saying. I don't have a problem with a five-game series at all. I feel like the playoffs would just be too long if you had seven-game series to start. And, you know, I kind of like what it does in terms of forcing a manager and a team's hand to play a little bit of a different style. That goes in all sports. You're talking about basketball. Teams shorten up their benches when you get to the playoffs. You're only going seven, eight guys deep. The game changes. It gets more physical in the playoffs, and referees tend to let you get away with a little bit more on defense. Games, it's not the only sport where you have to change what you're doing once you get to the postseason, and honestly, I kind of like that element of it.
I can appreciate that. I think the problem, though, is, like, I'm going to go back to basketball in the NBA, where you get a slight reward if you're if you have a better regular season. So you get the home court advantage, and it's a 2-2-1-1-1 series. So the Bucks, if they win the first two games, then they lose the next two, but then they're at home for game five to win again, and then you can be at home for game seven to win again. So there's a benefit to being the higher seed. In baseball, it's like you're not rewarded for having a good season, even though all we're told is battle of attrition, 162 games, it's a marathon. Once you get into the playoffs, the Brewers had a better regular season than the Braves, but they're not. They have no advantage in the playoffs. In fact, they have a disadvantage. And even when it comes to, let's say it's the Giants that win over Atlanta. So let's say the Giants win, they would be the one seed, and Atlanta would be the road team. So the Giants, you're going to have two games in San Francisco. All Atlanta has to do is split one, And then the next three are going to be in Atlanta because baseball goes 2-3-2. It just seems like there's more built-in disadvantages for baseball in a sport where the whole sport is marathon, and then it turns into a sprint, and the sprint gives the advantage to teams that are good in the last 2-3 weeks of the season rather than April, May, June, July, or September. The Brewers had a better regular season, and they got, like, no reward for it in this series.
I'm not saying you're wrong about some of this, and it couldn't be tweaked, but I don't think that's why you have the randomness of Major League Baseball's postseason. I think it's just the nature of the sport. I think it's just a different pitcher on the mound to start every day, and different pitchers coming out of the bullpen at different spots every day, and different guys in different lineups every day, and the ball finding gloves when you hit it hard versus finding grass when you hit it hard. You know what I mean? There's just so much that goes into it. But I'm not saying these things that you're talking about don't matter and don't sort of, like you're saying, take away from the advantage that these teams earned. But I think more than anything, it's just a sport, dude. That's just how the ball rolls sometimes.
799-1250. Let's get our good mutual friend, Notebook Mike.
Three of the mafia over here, huh?
Yeah, us guys. Yeah, don't go around our corner here, see?
Buster and Romney, my buddy.
Yeah, you don't look at us the wrong way.
I really like that trivia you started out with about the Bears. All right.
What?
Bears quarter. You did that Bears thing?
Oh, yeah. Rodgers named four Bears quarterbacks since he started. Okay. See, Mike, not everybody listens the entire day like you do,
yeah,
so
no
we have to...
I listen 12 hours a day.
I know, but not everyone does. So we have to reset. Like, when you say something
like
that happened 2.5 hours ago, you make it sound like it just happened. At 7 a.m., I tried to name all the Bears quarterbacks since Rodgers started.
All right, I'm going to start with two questions, and I'll go to the Brewers.
Thanks for the outline.
Romney?
Yes, Mike.
Is he still there?
Yeah, Romney's
here, Mike. Yeah.
English muffin, cut in half, toasted, butter, peanut butter, and jelly.
Don't talk about this on Bart's show.
See, now nobody knows. Now the host of the show doesn't even know what's going on.
Well, you got to listen.
I can't listen all 12 hours.
Okay. Who was the quarterback when McMahon left?
The quarterback of the Bears?
Mike Tomczak.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Steve Fuller? I don't know.
Is that a guess?
I was five, dude. I was like...
Oh, wait, hold on. Craig Console, press conference here. Coach, what did you think of the starting pitching of the Braves? They won. What did you think of the lineups for the Braves? They won. What did you think of their bullpen? They won. Wouldn't that make it a lot easier?
Mike,
you
have what I am going to dub as Christian Yelich disease. A once great performer suddenly has seemingly lost it.
What? Is Bryce Harper in Philly in anything?
Mike, what's happened to you?
Well, I thought this over 2 hours. What about Aaron Judge?
What about Aaron Judge? What are we talking about here?
What are we talking
about? The guy from the Angels, I'm just saying I kept preaching to the choir to get a big bat.
Ain't nobody singing your songs, Mike.
Well, some of these teams that got the big bat, they're out. And what do you do?
Oh, Mike, hold on. Let me see if
I can.
Mike, stop for a second. I think I.
You
I
speak
think I
notebook,
see,
Mike?
I think I, yeah, I think I
used
speak
to,
notebook,
but
Mike.
I must have went up to the next
and
level.
And I'm going to interpret this for you. Everybody is talking about the fact that they don't have a. I think this is what Mike is saying. They don't have a big bat in the lineup, but there are a lot of teams like the Yankees and Aaron Judge and the Angels with Mike Trout and other teams with big MVP type bats in the middle of their order, who are home watching the playoffs just like the Brewers are.
Making like $350 million. They're not.
Is that what you were saying, Mike? Did I get that right?
Yeah, you got it right. $350 million.
I know what this dude's saying.
I'm just kidding with you.
Come on, Bart.
All right. I think I've expressed enough.
Well, I just need you to, you tell a story, but you open up to page 100.
I stopped using the notebook.
Oh, that, I could tell.
Yeah, Mike, don't, man. It was working.
But I don't think my brain's working right, I guess.
No, I mean, the notebook, Mike, is like a fun shtick, but you need the notebook.
Next time I call, I'm going to write everything down.
Good call, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't a good call, but that's a good call to do that.
Yeah.
But I got to leave you with this. Home base, home plate is a plate, not a base. Do you agree? Yes or no?
I never thought of that.
Okay.
You can exit to your right. The donation jar is available for you, and the Bart Winkler Show home game will be mailed to you in 6 to 8 weeks, pending postage. Rami, could this be the start of a new era for the Chicago Bears?
In what sense?
Here's
like this game on Sunday?
No, I mean Justin Fields, but here's what I'm thinking about the Bears, because the NFC North is brutal. But maybe it's not. If you look at the Bears' schedule to this point, and let's say the Packers ran through this schedule, where you lose at the Rams, then you beat the Bengals and the Lions, you lose at the Browns, and then you beat the Raiders on the road, I'm thinking optimism. 3-2, hey, we lost two tough road games, but we're 3-2. Yeah, I would think that the Bears, they win this game on Sunday. That's a game changer.
Here's where I have a hard time being optimistic. It's that I'm not saying you're right. They could end up having a decent record at the end of this season, decent enough to keep Matt Nagy as the head coach of this Bears football team. And I don't think that Justin Fields or this football team will ever reach their full potential as long as Matt Nagy is the head coach. And Matt Nagy, because the bar is set so low by his bosses, always does just enough to keep his job, but not enough to make this team a real good football team and an actual contender and something that's a threat to the Green Bay Packers long term. I love Justin Fields, man. I don't know that we're ever going to see the best of and the full potential of Justin Fields as long as that guy is in charge and calling the shots. Even when he's not calling the offense, I just don't have faith in the overall guidance and leadership of Matt Nagy, and that we'll see the best of this football team. Like, we might get a 2018 type of season where, like, yeah, maybe. I doubt it. I said the Packers would win the division at the start of the season. I'm sticking with that, and I'm still really confident in that. But let's say they win the division this year, and they go on a little run and make the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that it's a first step towards building something real as long as Matt Nagy is the head coach.
Yeah, the pick that I liked the least in this whole draft was Fields to the Bears, because it was a good pick, and I don't like the Bears. But nobody's criticism, like all the criticism of the pick, it's not anything about Justin Fields. It's, oh, well, it's an Ohio State quarterback. And, oh, he's going to be stuck with Matt Nagy. But Fields himself, I mean, there's a reason why when Fields gets hurt and then Dalton has to come in for one play and Fields comes back in the next play, the crowd's on their feet again. Even though it was in Las Vegas, it was like all Bears fans.
I really like Justin Fields coming out in the draft. And still do, but there is a little part of me that says, if I agree with Ryan Pace on a quarterback, there's a good chance I'm wrong about that quarterback, because Ryan Pace is always wrong about quarterbacks. So we'll see, man. I can't get my hopes up too high about a quarterback, about my football team. I can't, Bart. I've been conditioned not to. I've been beaten into submission by this franchise. And I can't bring myself to be even as optimistic about this as you, a Packers fan, are about my football team and your main rival, arch rival in the Chicago Bears.
Rami, you are a true friend. I would travel to the literal end of the earth for you.
I would do the same, Bart. I would do the same.
Thanks, buddy.
I love you.
I love you.
You take it easy.
You take her twice.
See you, dude.
2021, I'm done.
Goodbye.
They're going to write me out of video games. I mean, that's canceled, dude.
What's canceled?
They wrote Gruden out of Madden.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Taking him out of Madden. They might even cancel Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy because they complimented him for 60 seconds.
Are you as ready as I am for the rest of these emails? I mean, I'm not going through 65,000 emails, but are you as ready as I am to find out what else is in these emails?
You know me. Emails, I vote on emails. Emails are the biggest thing in the world.
Dude, I cannot wait. I cannot. By the way, dude, are you as... I know we were wrapping up. Are you as disturbed by the defense of John Gruden as some people are? Like, the one that confuses me the most is like, I mean, these were his personal emails, guys. I'd like to see what's in all your personal emails. Anybody that says that, we need to see their emails. Like, what are people writing? Are we all just out here being racist in email? Is that the implication that we're all out here being racist and homophobic and misogynistic and every other kind of bias that you can be in our email? Is that supposed to be a safe space for all that?
I think a big problem is people did not understand that the internet is not private.
Right.
And so they treat what they think. I mean, you think emails are private. You think texts are private, but they're not.
If anything,
and so if you're saying something and you think it's in private, you're going to get exposed. Yeah.
You're leaving racist receipts all over the place. That's the last place to be racist, dude. You can't do it there.
Yeah. All right.
Be racist anywhere else.
Yeah. Not in your email.
Not in your email. No. That's a no-no.
I don't think that's not a good way to end. But I do have to go. Yeah, I have to go.
All right.
See ya.
See you, Bart.
Rami Makhlouf, The Rami Show, today, 3 to 6 on The Fan. 262-703-3500, that's the number to get in touch with Windows Select, windowsselect.com. Buy one, get one on the windows. You need 100 windows, you get 50 at no cost because of their buy one, get one deal, which is good for as many windows as you need. No limit on it. Plus, you don't have to pay anything for a full year once it's installed. They're making this as affordable as possible for you. All of their products come with a double lifetime warranty on the windows, siding, and doors. They can do it all for you. Now, when they come out for a consultation, because you're going to want to know, like, what's going on here? What are we doing? What are your ideas? Here are mine. They come out to your house. Even if you don't book them to come back and install it, you get a $100 gift card to the Packers Pro Shop as they are a proud partner now of the Green Bay Packers, and they want to celebrate that with you. Window Select, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. We are in the Lakeland University studios. Online or in person, learn your way at lakeland.edu. Good buddy of the show, John Greenberg, president of your Milwaukee Admirals. They're back on the ice. Regular season action this weekend. And John, the NHL on ESPN theme brings us in. Look, NHL, it's like the same NHL that it's been the last 20 years. But to be back on ESPN and on TNT and, you know, I you want to say nice things about the NBC partnership and all that stuff, but it's like hockey's back, man. Hockey's back, back.
Yeah, it definitely feels different. I will agree with that 100%. You know, it's the NBC people did a wonderful job with it for all those years. But it was like after it went off of ESPN, it was like ESPN didn't really even care to talk about hockey anymore. So to have it back there and then also to put it on a powerhouse like TNT is certainly a, you know, a really big step for the NHL. And you know, more eyes watching hockey is always a good thing for us, too.
Yeah, I mean, when those two networks are working together now and they do such a good job on basketball, but it wasn't just when hockey left ESPN, it left ESPN and went to NBC because NBC Sports wasn't really a thing yet. It went on, I think it was still the Outdoor Life Network before it changed to Versus, before it changed to NBC Sports. So it's just kind of been, you know, it's still, I mean, you can still find it on TV, but to not have the biggest sports TV channel talking about you a bunch. So I do see that there's more excitement. The numbers are really good on opening night. And again, if they're watching hockey, they're thinking hockey, and that should translate to the Admirals, who you guys, I know you had some preseason, but my God, what a layoff for the Milwaukee Admirals. You got to be like, I don't think you're sleeping Friday night to finally have a game again on Saturday.
No, Saturday will be like Christmas morning for me. So, you know, it'll be 584 days in between games for us. Last game was a sellout game on March 11th of 2020. And now here we come to October 16th, 2021. And so excited to come back and put on a show for people. And our players are thrilled to be here. They're excited. And, you know, it's just been a long 19 months, but it's coming to an end, and we're excited to be able to put the show back on.
You know, when this all went down, I mean, I don't think that you could have ever imagined you wouldn't have played again for another 18 months. And you know, there's a lot of questions in the beginning, and then we found ways to, you know, try to do all this stuff again safely. What was the hardest thing for you and your team to get through? Just not only you missed the season where you guys were doing very well, but then you had to miss the whole next season, and now you're finally back.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, the disappointment when we finally got the word that we were canceling the rest of the 2020 season. And you're right, we had a great team, and we were poised to make a long run in the Calder Cup playoffs. But that disappointment was certainly tempered with, okay, let's just get ready for the next season, which we thought was going to be last year. You know, our staff, we've been blessed with a great owner in Harris Turr, who kept us all on during all of the last 19 months. And it really gave us a jumping off point for getting started again and being able to stay engaged with our fan base, with our season ticket holders, with our sponsors. And the loyalty that they've shown us really, you know, is spectacular. We're going to lead our league in season ticket renewal, coming off a year where we didn't even play. So people have kept their money with us for basically almost 2 years to come back and watch Admirals hockey again. And our corporate partners have done the same. So, you know, just the business from our staff, you know, that hard thing about not being able to do what we do and love doing so much, that was hard. But the enthusiasm and the focus of being able to move forward and have something to shoot for, which is this Saturday night, has been on everybody's radar for a long time.
You got the Grand Rapids Griffins to start the season. Again, this is a home game. Good to start at home and get the fans back and ready. Now, some sports teams could say, well, they're just going to be excited because they're back. Let's not do any more than we have to for these people. But not the Admirals. I know you guys cherish each and every person that comes through that building. What are some of the highlights that we got coming up here in the near future?
Well, certainly, you know, I've told people I think opening nights could be very emotional for not only for our staff, but I think for our fans, and I think our players know it. We've kind of talked to them about that, and you know, I think they're ready to go out there and really put on a good show for everybody on Saturday night. So, you know, we've been talking about all the promotional ideas, all the the fun things to do with fans. You know, the problem we have, frankly, still due to COVID, is that we are limited in what we can do in terms of player to fan, you know, personal interaction. So some of the things that we've done in the past, we have to hold off until we get the clearance to go ahead and do autograph corner or do, you know, high five tunnels or all that kind of stuff. So we're finding different creative ways to get players interacting with fans. And, you know, I think our social media and our game presentation will certainly lend itself to that. But we can't wait to get back to, you know, being able to have those interactions. So we will be creative. It's one of the things we pride ourselves on, is being creative with people. And I think people will see that right from the beginning.
MilwaukeeAdmirals.com. Check them out. Get tickets. Get out there this weekend. A couple of weekend events coming up, too, and games. Now, I know that I'm talking to John Greenberg, president of the Milwaukee Admirals. So this may be a biased answer, but you've got to – what are our expectations here? Because you guys – I mean, we were thinking Calder Cup championship a couple years ago. Where are we at in terms of expectations? Are we – I mean, because Milwaukee's title town since you guys last played. I know you know that.
I've heard. We've got 9 guys back from our last time we played here. Everybody on our team played last year somewhere, which has been good. So it's not like they sat around and missed an entire year of development. Everybody has played. They got better. I think, you know, our goaltending is going to be very good. I think our defense is going to be very good. Some of our key offensive players are back. And I think we've got some young prospects who I think, you know, this is the first time people in Milwaukee will have seen them. Guys like an Igor Afanasyev, who I think is going to be a stud in this league. I think he's a guy that people are going to want to come out and check out, because I don't know how long he'll be here. I think he's a guy that's going to get to Nashville and then stick there. And I think that's a guy that's got a chance to be pretty special.
It's a good time. It's good hockey. It's right down the road from most of you. Downtown Milwaukee. You can check out the Milwaukee Admirals. Good luck on the season, John. We'll be in touch throughout. I'm glad that you guys are back.
Yeah, we're glad too, and thank you, Bart. And we look forward to seeing people on Saturday night. Still have some tickets available for Saturday, so come on out and check us out.
Check them out, MilwaukeeAdmirals.com. That's John Greenberg, team president. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a renovation loan, you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at GreatMidwestBank.com today. Again, GreatMidwestBank.com. Justin Fields ready to take on the Green Bay Packers for the first time.
I'm excited. You know, of course, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's a great quarterback. He's been playing since as long as I can remember. So I know it's going to be a good matchup between, you know, him and our defense. Our defense has been playing well. So I'm excited to see him play.
Maybe we have Justin Fields, Aaron Rodgers matchups for the next couple of years. Maybe we only get two of them, at least in these uniforms. Who knows? Again, I'm Bart Winkler, Toby Altizer, Danny Parkins, good buddy from 670 The Score, Parkins and Spiegel in the afternoon. Here's where I want to start with you, and thanks for a couple of minutes, Danny. Welcome back to the program. So the Bears, they have lost to the Rams and Browns, both on the road. They have beaten the Bengals and Lions, and then they went out to Las Vegas and beat the Raiders so bad that John Gruden got fired. But, ching. Are the Bears good? Because if you have that schedule and you're any team with those results, you're like, hey, that's optimistic.
Yeah, I think they are middle of the pack-ish. I mean, remember that they have never had a losing record under Matt Nagy. They were supposed to have the 20th pick in the last draft, but they traded up to 11 to draft Justin Fields. So they're not a bad team. They're just not a particularly deep team, but they are a great defensive team, right? They have stars on defense who are playing well. Khalil Mack is playing well. Roquan Smith is playing well. Robert Quinn is playing very well. The Bears lead the NFL in sacks, and Quinn and Mack are the top sack duo in the league. Jalon Johnson, their second-year corner, is playing very well. So they have stars at all three levels of the defense, which means they should, relatively speaking, be in every game. Now, they got blown out in the opener against the Rams. It was the first game with a new defensive coordinator, and the Rams look like legitimate Super Bowl contenders. So that's not an embarrassing loss, but they did get blown out. And then in that Cleveland game, you know, Justin Fields got sacked 9 times, and that was the game that led to Matt Nagy giving up play calling for the second time in 2 years to Bill Lazor, because he let a rookie quarterback go out against Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett with Jason Peters and Jermaine Ifedi as his tackles, and he never kept in any extra protection for him. I mean, it was a suicidal game plan, and the Bears got killed. So those are the two losses, and otherwise they've been winning and competitive. So are they good? No. I think they're still a very limited team. They've had more rushing yards than passing yards in 4 consecutive games. That's not exactly a sustainable business model in the NFL in 2021, and I'd imagine that'll need to change against Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, their opponents, over the next couple of weeks. But they're competitive, and they're not an embarrassment, and they're playing a young, exciting rookie quarterback. So for now, we'll take it.
You know, you when you go to like a pool and it's a little too cold and you're not ready to jump in, eventually you're going to jump in and the water will be just fine and you'll have a good time. You're at a pool party. That's kind of what it's been like with Nagy and Fields. It's like eventually you're going to go to Fields, but he's like kind of not going to Fields and going to Fields. And then he like put his toe in the water and Fields scores a touchdown. Then he comes back out and he says, no, it's going to be Dalton. He's finally, it seems like he's in the pool. What finally pushed him in? Because it didn't seem like he was going to go in there on his own.
I think reality set in. You know, the idea was the Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid model. But the problem was that Alex Smith was coming off of 3 double-digit win seasons, had been the Chiefs quarterback for 4 years. Pat Mahomes was coming out of an air raid offense in a Big 12 conference that had never produced an NFL quarterback of any merit to that point. And Justin Fields came from a pro-style offense in the Big Ten, college football playoff appearances and victories, 2-time Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. And Andy Dalton had been a Bear 6 weeks longer than Justin Fields had. So the situations were not really comparable. And all that being said, for Matt Nagy's very complicated read and react, you know, spread West Coast hybrid offense, Andy Dalton was and probably still is better suited to run it. So he wanted to have Andy Dalton run the offense while Justin Fields learned. I disagreed, but plenty of people through NFL history have done it that way. So what changed was Andy Dalton got hurt. Justin Fields came in. The Browns game plan, like I said, was that of a clinically insane person. But he got another week against Detroit. And he looked really good. And yeah, the Lions stink, and it was at home. But Justin Fields just did things in that game that Andy Dalton simply would not be able to, namely that he had 5 completions of over 20 air yards down the field. That's just been unheard of for the Bears, frankly, my entire life. So once Justin Fields showed that he could bounce back and wouldn't be rattled, shook, ruined, whatever, you know, term the veteran old guard of the NFL thought was going to happen to him, when he got sacked 9 times, and then he came out and he was just throwing the ball all over the field against the Lions, the evidence was just so overwhelming that he had to play him.
Talking with Danny Parkins, 670 The Score, part of the great Odyssey Network, the Odyssey app. Make sure you get that. I don't know if you guys know this. It's free to download and free to use. With Nagy, though, I think that, you know, while Bears fans might have been worried, okay, when are we going to get Fields, because Matt Nagy's, you know, kind of on his own planet here. Now the sentiment that I've heard from people is, well, we're not going to get the true unleashed best version of Justin Fields as long as Matt Nagy's still around. Is that a worthwhile complaint?
No, because Justin Fields is not ready for some sort of full unleashed version of himself. Like, patience. And it's hard for all of us that have never had a legitimate Bears quarterback for any sustained time in our lifetime. And that's not hyperbole. Like, that is accurate. Like, if you talk about who the best quarterback in the history of the Bears is, like, by some statistical measures, it's Mitch Trubisky. By others, it's Jay Cutler. And by some, it's Sid Luckman. Like, it's pretty bare bones around here. So we are very impatient and desperate for this sort of thing. But for me, it's, incremental progress while continuing to show flashes of a superstar ceiling. That is what we need. In the game against the Lions, like I said, five completions down the field of over 20 air yards, that is elite. That will lead the NFL more weeks than not. Then the next game in Vegas wasn't spectacular by any stretch of the imagination, but impressive 3rd-and-11 conversion to Darnell Mooney late when the Raiders are staging a mini comeback. Impressive touchdown pass where he rolled out to his right, used his mobility, used his arm strength, threw to Jesper Horsted, who was covered in the end zone, and put it in a perfect place. Like, that type of throw on the run, impressive, high-level potential. As long as he keeps showing flashes like that more often than not and keeps developing, I'm fine with it. And the reality is, Bart, like, the game script eventually is not going to allow for the Bears to outrush their passer. And last week he had, you know, 20 pass attempts. The week before he had 17. Like, if the Packers come out and score on the Bears at will and are up 14-0 in the first quarter, Justin Fields is going to have to throw the ball 35 times. And then we'll start to be able to see what he's like as a fully formed passing NFL quarterback.
Well, I look at the Bears offense too, and you got a rookie quarterback and you're getting carries right now with a rookie running back as David Montgomery's out for a few weeks and Williams was a little banged up. The, you know, Allen Robinson's great, but they're still trying to find a true second guy next to him. If the Bears are going to win, I don't think they've put up more than 24 points yet this season. Can they put up 24 points against the Packers?
I mean, I think they can put up 24 points against the Packers. Their running game has been very impressive. And you were right to note that David Montgomery being out is a concern. Damian Williams was 5 yards per carry last week. Guard to guard, they're pretty good. James Daniels and Cody Whitehair are both second-round picks. And Sam Mustipher has been a revelation at center. So the interior of the offensive line is pretty good. And Bill Lazor is committed to running the football. And they completely pushed around the Raiders. Now, the Raiders aren't great by any stretch of the imagination, but they out-physicaled them. So in a game where there's no Za'Darius Smith, there's no Jair Alexander, there's no David Bakhtiari, and it's at Soldier Field, can the Bears be competitive and have their defense, you know, wreak some havoc on the Packers and play a game into the 20s and win? Yeah, I think it's possible. They're only a 4.5-point underdog. Like, this is not the best version of the Packers, but this is also by far, obviously, the best quarterback that they've faced. And Jaylon Johnson's really good, and we'll see if he ends up shadowing Devontae Adams. He says he wants to. He shadowed Odell Beckham a couple weeks back. Like, shadowing this version of Odell Beckham is one thing. Shadowing Devontae Adams is an entirely different thing. So the Packers will be able to move the ball and score against the Bears. The question will be, can they keep up?
You could talk me into, you know, the Bears. They're up and coming, and Fields and the Packers have some injuries. I can't take the Bears. I would take the Packers just on Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is 8-1 in his last 9, 20 touchdowns, 1 interception. Because of Rodgers, how he does against the Bears, I can't even take the Bears to be close.
I get it. I completely understand. I'm not here making an argument that the Bears are going to win the game. I'm telling you what their blueprint is if they are going to win the game. But the best player on the field by far is number 12. It's Aaron Rodgers. But I will just say, Bears defense is real, man. Like, they are. This defense is playing great. And from what I've seen from the Packers, outside of Devontae Adams right now, Rodgers ain't really throwing to other people. And it's not being that successful right now. So if the Packers truly are one-dimensional, I think the Bears can have some success schematically against the Packers and just muddy it up and make it a little bit more uncomfortable for Aaron Rodgers than it normally is when he shreds the Bears. I mean, did you see that answer yesterday when they was like, you've played against 16 different Bears quarterbacks. Can you name them? He's like, yeah, I could probably get close. And then he named 4. He's like, oh yeah, I don't remember them. Yeah, because the guys that he didn't remember were like Caleb Haney and Matt Barkley and Jason Campbell. Like, it's been so non-competitive for so long in this rivalry that I'm hoping Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay for some AFC team after the year and Justin Fields can reign supreme for the next decade and a half, and you cheeseheads can understand what we've gone through for a couple of generations.
Is that decade and a half going to be at Arlington Park? I don't know much about this proposed move. Do people like that? I would think it's bad.
People do like it. Soldier Field sucks. Soldier Field is impossible to get to because there's this thing called Lake Michigan to the east, so you can only access it from the west. There is no L stop there, so you cannot take Chicago's great public transit from the vast majority of the city to get there. There's very limited parking because of how small the lot is. It is not owned by the Bears. It is owned by the Chicago Park District. It's the second smallest stadium in the NFL. There is no roof, so they cannot host the Super Bowl. They cannot host the Final Four. It is oftentimes useless for a huge percentage of the year for many events. And Arlington Park, which the Bears put in a bid to buy and has been, you know, in the process of being accepted, is on 360 acres, which is bigger than even SoFi Stadium and the surrounding attractions in LA. So the idea is, and there is a metro stop that goes right to Arlington Park, and so you'd be able to build plenty of parking. The idea is it would be convenient. There would be some sort of retractable roof. You'd have modern amenities. You'd have parking. You'd have hotel. You'd have restaurant. You'd have sports book. And you'd be able to have Final Fours and Super Bowls and WrestleManias and all the other things that you'd want to have at a big multi-purpose facility that would be more convenient to get in and out of. So that's the argument. That's the sell. The reality is, you know, it's not going to help the Bears be any more competitive because every team spends to a salary floor and a salary cap in the NFL. But I do think that the majority of Chicagoans believe that for a signature sporting arena and attraction, this city deserves something better than Soldier Field.
Danny Parkin, 670 The Score. Thank you for your time, sir, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bart, man. Be well.
Danny Parkins, again, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan, you're a bit anxious, breathe and let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com today. I will return the favor with those boys tomorrow afternoon. I think 4:40. I'll have to see what my assistant booked me for. Speaking one last note, speaking of the NHL being back on ESPN, the spelling bee is off of ESPN. It is moving to the Ion Network and Bounce. There's a TV channel called Bounce. So those of you that pretend to care about the spelling bee once a year, that's over. I'm Bart. That's Toby. Big show up next. Rami after that. We're back tomorrow at 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.